What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're broadcasting live from the Nest, fourth floor of Signia by Hilton, right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And Mike, tonight, Thursday Night Football, everybody again will be paying attention to our Falcons.
Right. Woke up this morning. I was watching NFL Network Good Morning Football. They're talking about Bijan Robinson, talking about Pitts, talking about our offense. Is this the night where everything finally clicks and we play for four quarters? And I'm not going to say four-cylinder. Hit all eight cylinders with this offense. Put some points on the board.
That's what we got to do, man. We got to score more points, be more efficient on third down. There's no doubt about it. We are going to talk plenty about our Falcons here over the next couple of hours as we broadcast live. But we have to start with what happened last night.
Oof.
And it felt like it might be okay until it wasn't. And for Max Fried, I'll be honest, Mike, I feel bad for the guy. You know, the last three postseasons, something bad has happened that has not allowed him to perform at the level in which he wants to. And last night, he gets hit in the glute and ends up having to leave this game.
I mean, he gets out of that jam in the first inning. You know, it just I can't imagine a more difficult way. If, in fact, this is Max's last game as a Brave to go out, you got to come out in the second because you just are tight. And Snicker said he tried to give it a go. He just wasn't feeling it. But, man, it was like 1,000 tiny cuts. Those little dribblers. I mean, Baltimore chops. Things you never see. And the Padres, a team that can beat you a number of ways, just get out of base with small ball. And then Fried obviously can't go. The bullpen steps up. And I thought the Braves were coming back. I thought there was some clutch. We saw Michael Harris. We saw Soler battled back for a minute there. There's a lot of puckered butts there in San Diego as the Braves are making the comeback.
Big O back at the studio today. Can I hear Snit talk about Fried being hit? Because, Mike, when he warmed back up, he looked fine.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm never going to challenge a guy's toughness because he's battled injuries, but it's like, really? That's the way this thing's going to go out?
You got hit
in the butt?
True. And so he warms back up, Snit and company, they walk off, and I'm like, okay, he's okay. Then we get to the second inning, and we realize he's not, but this is Snit talking about it.
I mean, if you noticed in the first inning, he was reaching back for some extra. He hit 97, 98 last night. So, I mean, Fried was definitely going to give it all he got. So, if it's just affecting his mechanics and he can't do what he needs to do, then you got to get somebody who's 100% out there on the mound. It just seems so surreal that it's going to end like that.
Isn't this, though, Braves fans, our season?
In a nutshell.
Isn't it? I mean, your last hope is Fried, who's been great in the postseason, has won, you know, helped us win a World Series, and this dude gets hit and it has to leave because of injury. I mean, it just simplifies what kind of year this has been. And all throughout the course of the season, Mike, I think we had one game or one week where we had the same lineup for the Braves. And then after that, you started to see the injuries rack up. And then all of a sudden, you're trying to adjust. Think about this season, right? Strider, Acuna, that's a given. But then here at the end, where Harris had to come back and fight his way back.
Austin Riley's out.
Ozzie
comes back with like a week left in the season.
Well, and to me, the biggest kicker is you're going into a series where you need your best pitcher, and guess what happens?
He's out. Yeah, it's the most star-crossed season I think any Braves fan can remember. You know, if we owned a funeral parlor, like nobody would die. If we won the lottery, we'd lose the ticket. Nothing was going away. Anything you want to say about this year, flush it. Now, it was a hell of a testament to the team that they could make the playoffs with all the things you just talked about. But once you're in the playoffs, I think Braves fans can sit there and go pat somebody on the back and get moral victory. No, I mean, you're in this game. Padres fans knew it. I couldn't believe how graceful everybody was and gracious on social media. Padres fans, like, good luck, Braves, because I think they got a little bit of a scare when the Braves made that charge coming back. But at the end of the day, though.
They did. But, Mike, we've been saying this, and we can't go away from what we've been saying. Bums. You're not going to win without star power.
But let's talk about it. There's just guys. There's replacements, but there's guys that you've got committed to. Now, again, Arcia's contract is nothing special. It's nothing. It's pennies on the dollar. But let's be honest. They blew the Murphy trade. Murphy can't hit. Okay? It's one thing when you're bringing in Urshela and Laureano and these other guys. Murphy can't hit. I want him off this roster, and I'm done with Arcia. Arcia can't hit enough. He just can't. And by the way, Manny Machado hits a bases-clearing double, and you want to go dap him up behind second base?
Well, maybe he was talking to about, you know, like, wishing him a happy birthday.
Look,
I don't know.
I know that sounds like an angry old man take, and I will say screw that because it's BS. It's an elimination game, and Machado's going, you go have a steak after the game. Give me a freaking break. You know, you're going to be Tommy Tough Guy, and you're going to stare down, you know, Bryce Harper a year too late, and you're going to hug Machado. I'm so over Arcia. I'm not trying. Look, there's a lot of reasons this team lost. But that's one guy I want gone next year because you got to pump up the bottom of the lineup. 21, 22, 23, 7, 9 were strong suits. They were weaknesses this year.
Well, and Mike, this team is going to look a little different. The core is still going to be here. We hope the core is healthy. The good news is, and I thought this was good that he just put this to bed. Snit said after the game last night, I want to come back, and I wish I was at spring training right now. I can't wait to get back with these guys. I love the fact that this has kind of been one of those things. Is he going to step away? And we've been saying, well, he's getting up there. And Smith's like, dude, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And I'm with him. Right. When this team is healthy, we're one of the best teams in the league and the best teams in Major League Baseball. I'm not walking away from this right now, and I'm still having fun doing it. So I'm glad we can put that to bed. Snit's going to be back, but what this team is going to look like, to your point about who's here, who's not here, and who you bring in, who you maybe let go, that is the adjustments that AA is going to have to make to really put us over the top.
I mean, you know, Schwellenbach along with Chris Sale and certainly – you know, I guess Ronaldo Lopez, you got three there. Are you going to consider bringing Charlie Morton back? And what's that going to cost? And don't you feel at this point, five innings of Charlie Morton, maybe I turn the page? You know, at 4 2/3, 5 1/3, is Fried going to stick around? Is Fried going to get some crazy offer from whatever team, Yankees, whoever? You know, more that you're willing to match? And then you've got your Strider. But is Strider, cause that's the thing, everyone talks about Strider. What is he going to be when he comes back? Is he going to be the same flamethrower? Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, when is he coming back?
That's just another thing. So right now I got 3/5 of a rotation, you know, unless you're considering Ian Anderson and Schwellenbach. And, you know, that's not exactly, you know, blowing anybody's skirt up. I just like to know in this offseason with a payroll that's really climbing up there. You talked about how these contracts are maturing.
Escalating.
Are they going to really get after it? Because you're blowing it with this window of opportunity. Look, this is a year you can put an asterisk and say, Carl, the baseball gods just took a giant dump on the Braves with the injuries. But next year, let's get right back.
Well, and next year there should be no excuses, especially getting back to spring training and everyone healthy. Speaking of how star-crossed this season was, let's hear Brian Snicker talk about it. Big O, talking about the attitude of this team, there was no quit. That's why I said we should all be proud, and I hope you are, despite the fact that we didn't get to the end game, which is winning a World Series. Here's Brian Snicker. Yeah, because they could have given in. I mean, we could have gave in June, to be honest with you, the way things were going. 404-726-0929. Find us on social media, guys. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. We are going to talk plenty about the Falcons and Bucks tonight. Thursday Night Football, Mike and I were just looking at some numbers.
Yeah, man, some prop bets. We were just joking around because we talked a lot this week about Kyle Pitts and his usage rate. Big articles, a lot of stuff being talked about nationally about what's up with Kyle Pitts as a fourth overall pick. And you and I, you just said it, the over-under is 2.5
catches
for receptions for Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
We were saying, remember when we were saying, free Roddy, hashtag free Roddy. 2015, Roddy wasn't really involved. And it was almost like Shanahan was going to say, screw you guys. And it was actually three balls in a row. To our man Roddy White. One was a check down. But you think Zach is hearing any of this noise?
I think he's hearing it. I hope he's not caught up in it. You can't go away from your game plan and what's working. But in that game plan, let's hope that he has some plays tonight for 8.
Hey, and by the way, if it's hashtag free Pitts, is Pitts a prisoner in a prison of his own design because he's not doing the work he needs to do to get open and be the man?
It could be, Mike. We're going to talk more about it. Also, our interview with Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times talking about all the things you need to know about Tampa heading into this game tonight. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell live from the Signia by Hilton. You're going to hear from Kirk Cousins, the quarterback of our Atlanta Falcons, coming up as part of the quarterback report at 2:40. So coming up here in about less than 15 minutes, you'll get a chance to hear what he has to say to Dave Archer as they get ready for tonight's contest with the Bucks. Want to read this because this is from Money Harris on social media, and I love it. He says about 2 hours ago, man, what a wild year. Could not have asked for a better group of guys to battle with considering the circumstances. We still beat some of the odds and gave ourselves a chance.
Right.
We left it on the field. Thank you, Braves country. And then he says, 2K25, where you at? Talking about, obviously, the video game. But Michael Money Harris is right, man. And I said to him, thank you. Mm. You know, like, again, we could have folded up. I thought this might have been, Mike, when you talk about Snit's best managerial job under the circumstances.
It's funny because as the season wound down and you started looking at individual games, you know, like, okay, you left Morton in too long against the Phillies or whatever that. Yes, and we say it all the time. If you're following a team over 162, you're going to find, you know, 5 or 6 games where you're going to debate the manager's moves, leaving a guy in, an early hook. But, I mean, when you go through the fact that you're playing guys off of waivers, these are guys that are released and have passed through waivers and you got them. These are guys that have been – they're journeymen.
Yep.
You know what that means.
Bum.
Okay, bum. But, no, I mean, you've literally gotten to the point where your roster is, like, not even remotely close to what you broke camp with in Northport. Nobody loses Acuna and Strider. You already talked about it. We already know. And then Austin Riley was kind of the cherry on top. At least Ozzie was able to come back and contribute. Oh, granted, he was only right-handed. And some guys say it should only be right-handed Aussie. But this is still a hell of a job. And the rotation, remember, you had different parts where Ronaldo Lopez had to stop and because the inning usage. And you had to always juggle the pitching. You always got guys coming up. And it's everything Snicker's had to do the last 4 or 5 years. So I'm not going to – anybody who's on Snicker, I think you're just – I don't know what you were watching. This is a team of basically seven stars. It was reduced to 2.5 by the time the season ended.
Yeah, and it's hard to win without star power in any sport.
Sale was the pleasant surprise this year.
Absolutely. He was the best. I mean, like, I was not as fearful about him being picked up by the team. I did not know he would achieve this. But I felt like he would compete. And then when healthy, you see what he's capable of. So.
Right.
I am excited, like Snit, for, you know, what next season is going to bring, because I know these guys will be back healthy, and, you know, you're not going to get bit like this, Mike, 2 years in a row. We've seen teams have that. Yeah, knock wood. We've seen teams have this stuff happen and then come back. I mean, it's just what it is. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about the Braves, obviously, losing 5-4. They are done. They are out of the playoffs, and just kind of recapping what some of the guys were saying on social media. All right, we got a lot to get to. You're going to hear from Rick Stroud. Tampa Bay Times coming up at 3 o'clock as we talk to him about all the things that are going on, including Baker Mayfield, the defensive injuries that they're dealing with. And then he gives some insight into Brady and how things were done when Brady was there. And it's just something you guys want to hear if you missed it the other day, because I was blown away by this story that he tells about Tom Brady.
There was a little bit of controversy last week when Baker Mayfield goes on a podcast, and kind of some people said, wow, you got a lot of huevos or temerity to say that things are better that you're here and the greatest quarterback to ever dress out isn't. But when you think about the circumstances surrounding the GOATs last year in Tampa, it makes a lot of sense, and Rick will tell you that story.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Find us again on social media. Jersey Mike here, our on-site engineer, as always, and Big O's back at the studio. Turtle is off today, and we'll be back all together tomorrow. But while we're down here, man, come on down, hang out at the Nest. It's a great spot again, Mike. We said this last time we were here, one of the best places we've been.
I mean, look at this view. You got the stadium right here. You're right past the Home Depot backyard. They've got their own version of what we've got at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the Halo board, where you can basically look inside. Inside and outside. It's one of the coolest sports bar layouts. And the food, you should have seen me and Carl, as we said, kind of going through it like we're in a pie-eating contest, woofing down the wings and the burgers. It's really, I mean, one thing with the Hilton, the food's always great at their sports bars, but the Nest, the build-out, too, by the way. If you got here at business, you can walk right down to the World Congress Center, right to the stadium. It's cake.
It is. It is cake. That's a great way to put it. Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to. Big O, let's hit some headlines. It's all about our Falcons, Mike. We have to be better on third down. There's no doubt about it. And how do you improve time of possession, right? Well, you got to get first downs. Listen to Raheem Morris talk about it. He joined Andy and Randy this week and was asked that question about how to improve time of possession. In my
opinion, that's it. I mean, everything that we're trying to do, every fantasy owner who's not even a Falcon fan, somebody in, like, you know, sitting in California or up in New York going, what's up with Pitts? Why isn't Bijan getting more touchdowns? Because you got 15 less plays than your opponent. You know, it was 11 more minutes of time of possession last week in a game we won against the Saints. It was at that point, it was almost 50 more minutes with the Chiefs before we got our final possession. So, Carl, you've got to get these third and down, and it all starts with first down. It's simple. Second and 5 works. Second and 8 or second and 11 don't work. And Cousins, I don't care what anybody says. Everyone says he's back to being 100%. I still don't think he's 100%. I think that'll come over the course of the season. But what he's got great weapons in Bijan. Now, by the way, Bijan's also not 100% either this week.
Yeah.
Well, short turnaround coming off a hamstring.
I'm curious if they use him does he get as many touches as we would think? You know, is he in the 15 to 18 range today?
Well, I mean, but there's still time, even with, you know, Bijan at 75% to get touches, provided you keep moving the sticks and you can get the usage rate up.
Yeah, I agree. I'll say this, man. I don't know. I feel like one part of this offense is just absent, and I would love to know what it looks like when Kyle Pitts gets going. I just would. I just feel like that's an empty space right now.
Right.
And you're getting nothing from a production standpoint from that space. And until you do, all this other stuff that we're talking about, that's got to help us get more time of possession, more plays, more first downs. And that's not happening right now.
And by the way, you know, as we said, as we get further down into the season, if Zach Robinson, like, the light goes on, okay, I get it. It's not what you had with the Rams. But you got a guy here. You can't use a thoroughbred like a plow horse. Right? I mean, and I know that there's things that Pitts has to work on. Maybe the route running, there's an article that we talked about in SB Nation, which detailed a lot of things they described as shortcomings. But still, you got to find a way. I mean, if you're a good offensive coach finding your way in this league, you've got to utilize this dude and figure it out, right?
You have to.
And by the way, are they ignoring this? Is blah, 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 blah. This isn't a problem in their minds?
No, 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 no.
I can't buy
that. No. Tape doesn't lie. tape doesn't lie. You can't turn the tape on and tell me, any coach in his right mind, and Raheem and all these guys know. They know what he's doing. And by the way, Rod, here's the unique thing about our head coach. He's coached both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He coached wide receivers, and you guys do realize here we go to Super Bowl. We're talking about Julio, Mohamed Sanu.
Right.
We had a good group. He knows what he's seeing, Mike. I don't think you can ignore it, even if you wanted to. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Speaking of Ra, here's what he said about third downs, as we have been one of the worst teams when it comes to third down conversions. Yeah, and Mike, for me, it's not always been about it's the execution of some of these plays where we haven't gotten them. Is part of the reason why we haven't converted some of these third downs. I mean, it's not just that we're not getting them. Some of this has been lack of execution. Some of it's been penalties. We've hurt ourselves and set ourselves back, and then now we're fighting against it.
Right. We had a ton of penalties last week against the Saints. That's one of the – you got 80 yards of penalties.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to kill you. False starts. Some of the things, like we talked about, New Zealand, some was ticky-tack with moving the football, which I still – what the hell that was.
It was a joke.
And then it's funny, Saints fans were bellyaching about that pass interference. That was pass interference. I mean, if you didn't see it, I mean, Darnell Mooney's head gets turned sideways. Or was it Ray McCloud? It was Mooney. But, you know, basically you're seeing that it's obvious. We could be 3-1. We're 2-2. The good news is we're 2-2 and we're still working things out. In an NFC where there's a lot of teams working things out.
They are.
49ers are dealing with the potential of not having McCaffrey the rest of the season. You know, we've seen Dallas. Dallas is just doing what Dallas does, which is confusing everybody, including their fans. You know? So, but you need to get on a run. And hey, if we're 3-2 after the first five, giddy up, man. The other thing is we're going to go on the road a lot. We've already had, you realize this is our fourth home game?
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy.
It is. This primetime stuff. I mean, we've gotten a bunch of all the primetime stuff is out of the way except for the Monday night game against the Raiders. Right. We don't have any more after tonight.
Now, if all goes well, we'll get flexed in
True.
To maybe some Sunday night games in November and December if all goes well.
Hey, man, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com for all your Man Cave needs. You're going to hear from our quarterback coming up in just a minute, but I do want you to hear one more thing from Raheem Morris as we get ready for tonight's contest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and that is Ra talking about, Mike, Matt Ryan. We haven't spent a lot of time this week. There's been so much going on.
Short week, too. You're
correct.
Right.
But he is going into the Ring of Honor tonight. And this is Raheem Morris talking about Ryan ahead of that.
We've talked about it, you know, at length over his career and his legacy. He's the greatest football player in the Falcons' history, in the franchise history. Now, there's guys, you might have said Deion was this, or Mike Vick was certainly excited, put fannies in the seats, brought new Falcon fans into the fold. But Matt is the best player that ever wear a Falcon uniform. You know, that's just the fact. And then you throw inside the intangibles of what he inherited in 2008, you know, with Mike and the Huskow and the lost season in 2007. And you got to put this team and become the face of it on your back. You go to the playoffs as a rookie. You know, remember in 2020 when things were hitting the fan around the country, guy gives $500,000 to get a dialogue going here in the city, in the inner city. The guy's always been a guy who's got this town's back, and it's a shame that he's just never, ever, for whatever reason, from some fans, not all, but a portion of the fans,
some
have just never given him his just due.
Yeah, from some. Best thing to happen to this franchise. 2008, that's all you got to do. Go look
right
at it. This thing was a debacle. It was an embarrassment around the country. People were talking about it everywhere. I wasn't here then. I'm telling you, I was talking
right
about it. Best thing to happen to the franchise. Completely changed the complexion of where the organization was to where it needed to go. And now, you think about this, Mike. This winning that we had between 08 and when he retired, or
right
at least stepped away from us. He's not officially, you know, retired yet. I don't know if he's put in his paperwork. But the fact is, like, that winning, we got so spoiled when Ryan was here. We were going to go to the playoffs. We were going to compete. We were going to be in the mix. We were going to go to NFC Championship games. Oh, we might even go to a Super Bowl. We did all of that.
And it goes without saying, if we don't screw up 51, and that's, you know, like Matt makes the throw to Julio. Julio makes a great catch. We fall down twice, kick a field goal. The entire legacy of Atlanta sports has changed forever, but it didn't. But the guy was always on the job. And as you said, Carl, he never had back-to-back winning seasons in this franchise's history until this dude got here. So, again, I would hope that, just like with Arthur Blank last week, folks, you can hold off on $1.50 hot dogs, stay in your seats, give the man some love at halftime when they honor Matt Ryan in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and congratulations to Matt. Well deserved. The next stop will be the Hall of Fame. Don't know when that happens, but mm-hmm. It's going to. All right, we're coming back. Quarterback report with our quarterback, Kirk Cousins. What does he think about the Bucs and more? Stay right there. You'll hear it next. scoring enough points. We know that's obvious.
Right.
And it's something that's got to get corrected. Hopefully it does tonight against Tampa Bay. Thursday night football from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Guys are broadcasting live from Signia, by Hilton, by the way, at the Nest. This is the fourth floor down here right across the street from the stadium. Mike, real quick, before we hear from Kirk Cousins, we were talking about some of these numbers.
Give me some of these prop bets. For guys that are new to football, gambling makes it more fun.
Yeah, I just was curious. I'm just looking at Falcon stuff, right? And so here's what I said to Mike. We talked about the Pitts 2.5 receptions over-under.
He had 3 targets last week. No catches. 1 called back on a penalty.
Correct.
But he did have 3 targets against the Saints.
And you just think that number would be a lot more. But that's, again, that's based on what he's done. And the odds makers are saying, we don't think he's going to do more than this.
I, you know what? At some point, release the Kraken, right? It's got to happen for this team.
I agree.
You know, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Tyler Allgeier, 35.5 yards over-under tonight.
Yes, I'd bet the over on that just because they're not really letting out. But if Bijan was, you know, let's be honest, Tyler filled in for Bijan because the hamstring tightened up, and he is listed on the injury report as questionable. So I just think just the law of averages and physics of the injury say he's going to get more touches.
Let's talk about Drake London. Receiving yards, 63.5 over under Drake London. I know.
Can't commit to that because it's such a, you know, let's be honest, herky jerky sort of stop and go offense that just never seems to get into a flow.
You want to see this offense at high octane.
Yeah, you know, Kirk Cousins, 300 yards. You know, kind of what he does
before
he got here.
That's right.
You know, before the Achilles injury. But Drake London with a C-note. Bijan with 125 yards from scrimmage. You know, I mean, Pitts with close to 80 yards and a touchdown in the red zone. That's why we thought so highly of Zach Robinson coming from Sean McVay's system. And then it's like, okay, are wide receivers just not – they're all cracked up to be? Or is it still Kirk Cousins? I mean, when does the familiarity thing stop as an excuse?
Well, it has to.
It's 4.5 weeks, and I know it's a short turnaround.
It has to. Let me ask you this, though. How do you explain what we saw with the Eagles? How does that happen and look so good?
I heard a number of guys this week, and Randy brought it up last week, or the week it happened. Quarterbacks, everything kind of gets simplified in a 2-minute offense, or you're kind of going back to more of your base stuff, and the language is simple, and the rhythm. And it was also no huddle, of course. So I don't know if that just got Cousins. We just talked about Matt Ryan. Some of Matt Ryan's best games are when they would go no huddle, you know, in second half.
But he was delivering the ball.
Everything's coming out on schedule.
Yes.
Boom, boom, boom.
And my point is, you can't look that good and then say he's not healthy. That's why I push back on that. And I know you've been on it, and I don't know.
But, I mean, like, is he 100% to be able to, you know, take the quick step? Because it's not a sprint, but he's going to move and pivot and get the ball on the reach plays to Bijan or to Tyler. Is he comfortable there? Is he still comfortable mental reps as far as being in the huddle and seeing the field and forging that relationship with guys? See, look, if we had 4 games of preseason, we would have had Cousins out there in a perfect world, but off the injury, you're never going to see him. And with 3 games, there's even less chance to see the starters together.
No, they weren't going to
see
him.
Which may have helped Zach Robinson. Maybe it did. I don't know.
It's true. A couple of Kirk Cousins prop bets here. 21.5 completions tonight. So you're telling me what's he going to go, 20, 24, or 40?
But the over-under doesn't really allow for that because the over-under's low, right?
It's
43.5?
It is.
All right.
That's a lot of completions. I mean, considering it's not, but then you're telling me either 2 things have happened. We're down, and he's throwing the ball a lot more than we expected, or that we come into this game and the game plan
or
is we're
going to
throw the ball.
Or we abandon the run. The Bucs and Vita Vea take away the run game, and we become kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't like that idea, but I guess, yeah.
22 completions?
It's Vegas. It's putting they've got you right on the spot.
They do. All right, one more.
I'm not touching that one.
It is, and this gets back. Passing yards. Kirk Cousins, 234.
Under.
Okay.
I want to see
a guy that throws for 3, and he hasn't done it
yet. I want to see all of those numbers exceed, but until I see this offense consistently fire on all cylinders,
all right.
I just kind of feel that maybe go low on that. And if we do establish the run, you know, that means less pass. But it hasn't passed the eye test for the media, national media, the fans. But the good news is, guys, even with it looking as ugly as it has on offense, we're 2-2.
Yes.
And maybe going to be – could have been 3-1.
Well, maybe that's the story, Mike. As we've worked through these situations, especially on offense, and we're still winning games, maybe that tells us we got a really good team. Because once they figure it out, this thing, again, may take off. That, to me, I don't care, again, how we win, but that is interesting. If we still maintain winning and we are above 500, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, whatever it might be down the road, and by then I hope we figure this out. But I'm just saying, in the process, you still have to win while you're trying to learn about this stuff.
Here's one for you. How about this? Maybe come up, I'll pull this number out of my hanky. Plus 175, we score on our first drive. touchdown.
I believe that because we've been good on
scripted
the first
drive. Scripted plays. Seems yes. like we get into a rhythm. We certainly did at times. You know, that's one of the things that has happened. So, again, it's not an anti-Zach or anything like that. He's preaching for answers. We just saw it on Fox Sports 1. Zach Robinson says we need to score more points, which is exactly what his predecessor said in Arthur Smith.
It is. And I didn't think we'd be here. I just didn't. All right. Good news is we got a chance to make it better tonight. Let's hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, with Dave Archer. It's the quarterback report.
Let's get it right here. Let's get in the end zone. Let's go!
This is the Falcons quarterback report. The Falcons quarterback report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Hey, Carol, countdown to kickoff. We get a chance to catch up with our quarterback. Kirk, what's the biggest challenge in these Thursday night games getting ready to go?
Well, I think certainly physically we've all got to be as fresh as we can be and be ready to go. I think there's also a mental aspect of digesting a game plan in a short amount of time. But it's the same for both squads, and I think there's a benefit to it as well of not overthinking and just going and playing and reacting, and I think it can lead to a good performance.
Can part of that translate to game plans? Do game plans get simplified a little bit, especially when you start looking at their defense? How much more can they do that you may have saw on tape on Sunday?
Yeah, having been with a lot of different play callers, there's a lot of different ways to go about these short weeks. You know, you can install extra volume for your previous game that then can carry over to the short week. You can treat it like any other week. You can try to simplify the game plan. There's different ways to do it, but ultimately we just have to execute what's called, understand, you know, what the defense has given us and then what our answers are against it. And, you know, playing a Todd Bowles defense, we're going to see a fair amount of pressure. We're going to see a fair amount of fronts, and we're going to have some challenging looks. And so on a short week, it is a challenge.
I haven't had a chance to talk with you here first few weeks. I know you're not satisfied with where your offense is. Maybe you're never satisfied. But are you pleased with some of the progress you've made, yeah, with some of the things you've got going on with your receivers?
Yeah, I think, you know, behind the scenes, I think there's been progress. If you look at, like, just the general tenor of the offense and the production of the offense over 4 weeks, I think each week has been a progressive step better. So that's encouraging. And yet, you know, there's certainly plays we left out there. You're always going to have that. But I'm excited, you know, and kind of view it as another opportunity this Thursday night to, you know, take another step and be the explosive offense that we want to be.
This is a Tampa team defensively that's always historically under Todd Bowles been pretty good. Personnel's changed significantly over the last couple seasons, certainly for this year. What do you see when you put the tape on?
Yeah, it's certainly a Todd Bowles defense when you look at the fronts and the pressures and the coverages. There's a few names have changed, but, you know, the Lavonte Davids of the world are still there. Vita Vea is still there. It's a good unit, and they're the defending division champs for a reason. And so, you know, to win the South, we got to go through them twice. And, you know, it's been stated, but, you know, this is a big, big game for us.
You mentioned Lavonte David, and I've had the pleasure of calling a bunch of games that he's been involved with the Falcons, and maybe pleasure's the wrong word. when you begin to look at him and his career, 34-year-old guy, but coming off an 8-tackle, 2-sack game last weekend against Philly, you know, just what makes him such a great player?
I think he's instinctive. I think he plays with speed still. I think that, you know, going back to, I played against him in college. We were in the Senior Bowl together as teammates. It's just no surprise to me the career he's had after kind of seeing him in college and coming out of college. He's always been a fast, instinctive player, and I think he's a leader too. I think he elevates people around him, and now, there's a reason he's been with one organization for 13 seasons.
Importance of you and I have talked about this. Importance of the divisional games. Importance of playing at home, magnified on a Thursday night. Talk about that a little bit, and just the importance of making sure you take care of your own building.
Yeah, we're at home, playing a good football team, a divisional opponent, in prime time, chance to get above 500. You know, we've got a couple days off Saturday, Sunday after this game. You know, you want to be sitting there watching pro football on Sunday knowing you took care of business Thursday night. You know, nothing's worse than sitting around on a long weekend knowing that you fell short. So for all those reasons, major sense of urgency going into the game, and it needs to reflect in the way we play.
Go have some fun, man.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
Yeah, can we have some sense of urgency to start this game? We have done a good job, Mike pointed it out, of these first drives going down and scoring. We did it against the Chiefs, right? We did it against New Orleans. I feel like that is – you got to get off to a good start. That's a big part of it. Kirk Cousins there with the back report. He's right, though, Mike. You know, if we somehow come up short tonight, these guys got to sit around and watch all these games on Sunday
right.
and the Monday, and they're like, oh, we should have probably did something.
Right. I was talking to some Falcon fans today. We just want to see this team look like what we thought we were going to get. Now, you and I were just talking about, before we played the audio, of Kirk being 100%. When does one get back to being 100% coming off that type of injury? You know, as far as completely able to step in, bounce on the balls, of your, you know what I mean, on the top of your feet and do all the things and the intuitive nature of football. And, you know, and I mean, I just think I always felt it was going to take a while. But in my wildest dreams, I didn't think we'd be this anemic on offense going into week five.
Oh, no, but I don't know if anybody did. I mean, again, I was probably, you know, leading the way when it came to what I thought this offense could look like. And then the first game, I'm willing to give it, you know, all right, give it some leeway.
Because it was almost like an extension of the preseason.
Yeah.
Because nobody, the starters hadn't played with each other.
But not now. Not going into week five. And to answer your question about that, Mike, I mean, literally, it just depends on your body, man.
Right.
I mean, I can't tell you. Everybody heals differently. Everybody, and by the way, these guys are getting first-class recovery, okay? This isn't you or me trying to go down and see the recovery guys.
But you're telling me a guy right now who works at Home Depot doesn't have a hyperbaric chamber?
No. These guys are getting first-class recovery. They're getting all the physical therapy and all the stuff you need to get back as soon as you possibly can. But I don't know if anybody knows that answer. Everybody knows their body. Hmm. But for Kirk, I can't look at some of the things he's done so far this season and go, that looks healthy to me.
But it's like we had these arguments yesterday with a couple of listeners on social media. And you can follow us, Carlos. Put them up, C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL on Twitter. We don't say X. And the guy was like, yeah, well, you know, Pitts, you guys are dogging Pitts. Look at the guys. You get it. 2 years, he gets a pass. You know, 1 year he was banged up.
Yeah.
You know, the first year, Calvin Ridley disappears after five games, and Pitts kind of becomes the number one receiver at 1,000 yards. More than Russell Gage, more than Zacchaeus. But now, okay, how does he showed you the ability? He showed you the ability without where he's probably drawn double teams to be the man. So what's changed? You know, what's changed with this offense other than Arthur Smith was kind of using him as more of a traditional role, but pivoted once he had to deal with those injuries at wide receiver.
Yeah.
So why can't Zach Robinson get the same thing out of him? Get him down the field.
Well, I said to
– like, remember the Jets game in London?
Correct.
He won you games that got you into field goal range. Cool was kicking all the field goals to win that year.
Yeah, and those were vertical, long vertical passes.
Right.
I said to a guy yesterday, the thing that Zach has done, and we'll see tonight, they have lined him up outside. They have lined him up in the slot. They've also lined him up on the line. They're utilizing that part of this. This hasn't been Pitts in one spot every game, every play.
It's just not there's no connection yet.
That's the part.
At the rate we need, other than the blown coverage and the first touchdown of the season.
All right, we're live, guys, down here at the Hilton, Signia by Hilton. We're going to come back. Rick Stroud covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he was really good breaking down all that's going on with that team, but also what's been the difference since Tom Brady left. This became a story, Mike, when, you know, Baker Mayfield went on a podcast and said, yeah, guys were tight because Brady made them that way. Wait until you hear what Rick Stroud has to say, as well as why this team is 3-1 right now, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.